When you invest in ETFs, your capital is at risk. This show is for professional investors only. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Thematic Matters, the new thematic investing podcast from Han ETF, Europe's most extensive thematic ETF issuer. So today I'm delighted to say we're being joined by Konrad Seppel, who's the head of research at Selective, one of the world's leading index providers. Now, one of the many indices that Selective provides is the Selective Electric Vehicle Charging Infrastructure Index. Today, we're going to speak about this general theme and the index. And I should just remind everyone that this is for professional investors only. So, Konrad, thanks for joining.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, to start, let's talk about the kind of broad EV theme. So, first of all, you know, why are we going to see the adoption of electric cars in the future?
Yeah, that's a fantastic leading question. So I think the main driver here really is the Paris Agreement of 2015 and the alignment of pretty much all the countries in the world to enable a zero net carbon emissions future. And of course, you know, there's multiple ways of implementing that, but a key part to pretty much everybody's strategy is the use of the electric vehicle instead of the traditional combustion engine. And to kind of implement that and force that along, most countries have already or are in the process of implementing sales stops for the traditional combustion engine car. In the UK, that's like 2030. Germany, where I'm from as well. So just that fact that, you know, it's going to be impossible to buy a combustion engine car is going to drive the market share of the electric vehicle substantially.
So if we do see this increase in EV adoption, this will obviously require the building out of EV charge capacity. And this is the kind of driving force behind the whole theme or index. So can you give us a scale of the requirements needed for this?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it definitely makes sense to put some numbers there. So there's a bunch of research out there, some of that commissioned by the EU, that suggests that roughly speaking, you'll need one public charging access point for every 10 electric vehicles out there. So if we bear that ratio in mind and we look at some of the projected numbers, in the US, for example, the Biden administration has set a goal of some like 24 million electric vehicles on the road by 2030. So if we break that down, it's 2.4 million public access points that are needed. And contrast that with the number that's available today, which is around 113,000. It shows that there's a massive scale up needed. And if you want to, you know, talk about closer to home, in Europe, the numbers are quite similar. The projections are about 30 million electric vehicles on the road by 2030. That obviously translates into 3 million charge points. And we have roughly 250,000 today in that same region.
So you mentioned the difference kind of Europe and the US there, or at least both have the same requirements to basically build a large number of electric vehicle charging stations. What's the situation like in, say, China or other parts of Asia, with China in particular being kind of one of the leading adopters of electric vehicles, at least predicted to be so?
Yeah, so I mean, I think the China is going to be the country with the most electric vehicles on the road. But the picture that we're seeing in China is slightly different. So we're expecting most of the charging infrastructure in China to actually be state-run and state-built. So at the moment, we don't actually see any listed companies and investments going into the direction of building up China. And we expect that to stay in the private sector.
One of the kind of interesting ways to measure it, which I saw cited in some of your previous work, Konrad, is a ratio of charge points to cars. Could you give us an explanation of kind of how that works and what those numbers look like in different parts of the world?
Sure. So, I mean, I think I mentioned the ratio of charge points to electric vehicles being about 10 electric vehicles to one charge point. And I think that number is pretty universal globally. It's not going to massively change. What is different is we see substantial differences in how far various countries are. If you ever do travel to the Netherlands, you'll find that pretty much every gas station that you meet along the motorway will have an electric vehicle charge point just a few hundred yards behind that station. Whereas here in Germany, and I myself drive an electric vehicle, I just had to rent a petrol-based car for a weekend trip because I was going to a remote location and there wasn't any charging stations available there. So I did actually have to go back to a petrol engine car because that infrastructure just simply isn't here yet. So there's really substantial differences, with most of the, let's say, larger Western economies really lagging behind. And even the small number of charge points that are available today are not really enough to substantiate the fleet of electric vehicles that we have on the road. So, and I think that why that works is that at the moment, still the owners and users of electric vehicles are very much first adopters and enthusiasts. But the real challenge in order to you know get to 50% plus electric vehicles is not to convince those that are adopters, but really to convince those that are worried about whether they're going to get to their destination and are more skeptical towards the technology. And really, in the end, this whole charging infrastructure or the whole electric vehicle revolution is only going to work when, from a user's perspective, recharging your electric vehicle is as convenient, reliable, and simple as refueling your petrol-based car is today.
There does seem many kind of interesting parallels with the adoption of personal car use in the 20th century. So, you know, using America as an obvious example, you have the kind of growth of personal car use after World War One with Henry Ford, but it's not really until the 50s that you have finally then with kind of the whole highway network built under Eisenhower, actually you have the necessary infrastructure needed for this kind of much more mass adoption and creation eventually of a kind of modern car culture. But it's kind of several decades in the making, I guess. Do you think the electric vehicle revolution will also be several decades in the making? This is a very much a long-term theme.
Well, I mean, I think the analogy is right and good. I just think that in the situation with the electric vehicle, we do have that additional acceleration through government intervention and basically rendering the electric vehicle somewhat a necessity. And so I believe that the adoption curve is going to be faster, and I think what we're going to get to is governments are going to find that they have pledged ambitious targets for the sale of electric vehicles, and they are also sort of putting a hard stop to the sale of combustion engine types, and that the charging infrastructure, very much like the highway infrastructure back then, is an absolute necessity. So that's what makes us believe that more money is going to flow and public money is going to flow into the expansion of those networks, because it's, you know, they're an absolute necessity in order to make those carbon goals happen.
Thanks. And a bit of a technical question, but can you explain the kind of different types of EV charge infrastructure that exist?
So, I mean, I think a couple of things, right? I mean, I think one is that what we often get asked is around the standardization of the cables and things, and, you know, whether that is an issue to the scaling of the industry. So we do have different standards, especially for high speed charging. We don't necessarily see that as a big blocker for the growth of the industry at this moment. It's more comparable to charging your mobile phone, where the USB port is the same for everybody, but the cable is a bit different. So the core of the infrastructure actually is the same, and you will see most fast charging stations on the way will be similar to a gas pump today that actually has diesel and petrol based pipes coming out of it. We see those fast charging stations having multiple cables for multiple adapters. But then, to take your question a different way, we do currently in the index basket see two main business models or value creation models. One of them being the actual production of the hardware, so the actual charger that's the wall box at your home or the fast charging station that you hopefully will encounter frequently along the motorway. And then the sort of different other business model is kind of those companies that are orchestrating and operating the charging networks. So they're making sure that you have the right RFID chip with you, that you can connect to the charging station, that the billing will be handled, and that all works for the user of the electric vehicle.
Thanks. And so kind of another aspect of this, obviously, has been that in the last couple of years, there's been a huge amount of market and investor interest in EV kind of car company stocks. Right, Tesla being an obvious example, but several Chinese companies being very popular among investors, and then we've seen huge valuations in the market. In comparison, kind of what's the situation been for market or investor interest in EV charging companies?
Yeah, so that's an excellent question. So you just need to look at the Tesla stock price and see that the investors have clearly picked up on the rise in demand in electric vehicles, and a lot of that is due to the very same metrics that we've quoted here earlier around what would we find interesting about the charging infrastructure. The charging infrastructure piece is it looks very different. So the stocks have had sub benchmark performances in the time that we've back tested it, but we got to bear in mind that this is a very young industry, and it's struck with a lot of upfront costs to start building out those networks. And as we've discussed, the scaling of those business models hasn't yet kicked in, because we're still at 3-4% electric vehicle out on the roads. We're about to go to 60% over the next couple of decades. So the scaling up is still to come, and it seems just from looking at the valuations that that has not yet been picked up by investors as much as it has been in the electric vehicle manufacturing industry. Also, we just spent some time looking at the first quarter numbers from some of those companies. They're pretty much all of them are reporting substantial 50% plus growth numbers, but obviously starting from a small basis and still in the process of scaling up.
Interesting. Moving on to the index, can you give us a kind of brief overview of how it's constructed?
Yeah, I mean, the index is relatively simple, as far as indexes can be called simple. We start with a global equity benchmark, and then we basically apply a sector screening. So we look specifically for companies that are active in the sectors of battery charging and electric vehicle charging infrastructure. And we then also apply a general set of ESG screening rules to ensure that there is full compliance with ESG investment product regulations. And we do also have a minimum requirement for the size and the turnover of the component on the stock market, simply to ensure that the index and the portfolio remains investable at reasonable transaction costs.
Thanks. And kind of one thing I think's drawn a bit of attention to the index is the fact that there's only 12 stocks in it. Could you tell us a bit more about this and kind of what your thoughts are on there only being 12?
Well, you could say that 12 is already a relatively good number. I mean, this is the very first index and that covers this theme. And what we're often faced with when we look at exciting new technology trends, which we do a lot over at Solactive, is that we find that often the really new and really really innovative stuff doesn't necessarily happen in the listed space at all, and a lot of the companies are still in startup stage and not publicly listed. So even though it's obviously not a super diversified portfolio, it is at least a portfolio that does allow us to create a somewhat diversified portfolio and ultimately meet the requirements also to be invested in by an ETF. And obviously, we also expect that number to grow as the industry grows and new entrants enter the fold. But overall, for a new tech theme, 12 isn't that bad. And maybe just one last point is, I think it's also clear that the value proposition of this theme isn't one of diversification. This is a pretty targeted niche of the industry that focuses specifically on the growth of a very specific industry segment. So again, the idea of 12 stocks is something that is sort of fits into that frame.
Thanks. And could you run us through some of the names in the index?
Sure. So, I mean, I mentioned the different business models earlier. I mean, some of the bigger names in the index are a company called Wallbox. They create home charging equipment and sort of generally charging solutions, but also the infrastructure for the fast charging networks along the motorways. Maybe one of the things that maybe also highlights some of the innovation that's happening in the sector is Wallbox is producing using home-mounted wall boxes that go bi-directional. So you can charge your electric vehicle, but you can actually also use your electric vehicle as a large battery to store excess energy from maybe like a solar-powered solar panels that you have on your roof. Or you can even make use of lower energy prices in down times, in off-peak times, and actually charge the car and then recharge your home infrastructure or even the grid through the electric vehicle, making sort of solar panels and solar investments more attractive. So that's one really cool thing that's happening there. On the other side, there's a company called ChargePoint. They organize a network of charging stations. It's the largest network of charging stations worldwide. We've just seen some news that they've gone live with a bit of fast charging infrastructure over on Route 40 in the US. They sort of orchestrate that network, but their interesting part of the business model is that they don't actually own the real estate or the actual charging infrastructure there. They just own the network. So it's a bit like a franchise model, if you want, where owners who do have real estate, like restaurant owners or malls that have large parking infrastructures, can basically join the network, be provided with all the standardized hardware, and then charge point takes care of the charging, billing, orchestration of the whole thing.
Thanks. And a final question, in the interest of being balanced, is there anything you see potentially derailing the electric vehicle kind of adoption theme or electric vehicle charge infrastructure theme itself?
Yeah, I think the disruption that I would see as a risk is more to the electric vehicle story. And then, you know, in the same way that we're arguing that the electric vehicle story drives the charging infrastructure story, if there's something that's harming the electric vehicle story, then that would also harm the charging infrastructure story. So I think, you know, you can never quite be entirely sure around innovation. So if someone invents a more efficient, more carbon efficient and cheaper, better technology to power vehicles, and you know, the fuel cell and further advances in that, maybe one of those technologies that ultimately introduce a competitor to the electric vehicle technology that requires a different technology set, that could be disruptive. Again, we don't really see any indication of that at this stage, but if geopolitical complications and focus on investment in other areas such as military might incentivize governments to rethink their Paris and carbon net zero alignment strategies and goals, and so direct investment that was previously earmarked for going into the EV charging infrastructure into other areas such as the defense budget, that might also slow down the growth in the charging infrastructure sector.
Thanks, comrades, and thanks everyone for listening. For more insights on Handy ETFs, many different ETFs and ETCs, please head to handyetf.com.